somebody says something like that, well, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, don't take it lightly. Understand the power behind it, the truth behind it. I mean, it's Scripture. It's in the Word. It is truth. Will we believe it, and will we respond to it? Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Those children and children's ministry workers are dismissed. Like I say, I think we could go home now, and we've already gained more than what we paid for. But I do have a message to share. Before I get into that, I do also want to encourage you to sign up for the Spark Marriage Conference that is taking place. Now, a couple of things you might not know. This is happening at Simply Church, but it is not Simply Church doing it. This is four separate churches that are coming together. Why? Number one, there's unity in the body of Christ. You know, Pastor Ben is working hard at keeping relationships built up. But it's important enough that four separate churches said, hey, let's do this thing. We know the need in our own bodies for how marriages need to be strengthened, how marriages need to have encouragement. And there's not just going to be teaching. There's going to be fun. I've heard some of the things they have planned. This is not going to be a boring weekend. You know, one of the common stereotypes is the wife always wants to go and the husband goes, why do we need to go? We don't need it. And she inside is going, oh yes, we need it. You know how that is. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're a married couple, you need it. I'm going to be there. Pastor Ben is going to be there. Not simply because we have a position, but because we also value our relationships. We value the blessing of our spouse, and we want to make sure that we are encouraging and building that up, not simply existing, not just subsisting, not just coasting, right? The only way to coast is downhill. Are you with me? So let me encourage you. I heard one of the churches, when they first announced it, they had 19 couples sign up. That's almost 40 people. And I think their capacity is about 100. So that's just one church. I think we need to get ourselves signed up like right now. Well, not right now, but on your way out at the Hello Hub. Now, there is a $50 cost per couple, but you're going to get an awful lot in return for that $50. It's going to be well worth it. You'll get a book. You'll get other materials. You're going to get fed well. There's going to be some fun things. There's going to be some prizes given away. I mean, it's going to be well worth whatever you need to spend. And if the $50 for you is a problem, you come talk to me. Because I will gladly take care of it, because I think it's that important. So, you know, if it is a problem, and don't feel embarrassed about that. I've been in places at times when another $50 out of my budget just was not going to be good. So I want you to know it's important and it's valuable. We need to sign up. And did I mention there was going to be food? I heard, and somebody's catering this in. This isn't, you know, three gals from the church just decided to put together a bowl of chili. I don't know exactly what they're having, but I know one of the catering companies is Olive Garden. So this is not, you know, this is going to be great. So I hope you'll come and join us. Speaking of food, let me show you a little bit of food. Anybody here like food? Oh, does that look good? Has everybody here had breakfast? Someone, no. I always eat a good breakfast, but I look at that, I think, that looks good. I would definitely tie into that. My heart is open, yes. But my mouth is beginning to water. Look at this. Bacon and eggs, a little juice, some nice buns. Show me another one. Oh, this is my wife's favorite. Biscuits and sausage gravy. She loves that stuff. Who here likes biscuits and gravy? It might be more a southern thing, I don't know, but that's good. I'm a big omelet fan. You like omelets? I like omelets. Look at this. You know, inside I'm going, I like that. Now, Do these photos, like they do for me, do these create a response in you? I mean, does it kind of stir things up in your soul, like a desire that is rising up? I mean, some of you are actually experiencing some physical activity right now, right? Stomach starts growling and you realize I should have eaten that extra donut or whatever. I mean, how many of you are feeling just a little hungry now? Yeah. I ate a good breakfast and I would definitely like to get into that. Now, you wouldn't know it by the photos that I've been showing you, but we are in the middle of a series of messages on fasting. You know, the Bible presents fasting as a legitimate and a powerful spiritual discipline. There are nearly 100 references to fasting that you'll find in the Bible. Some of those people that are mentioned in the scripture as fasting, well, you've got Moses, you've got David, you've got Elijah, you've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Zechariah, Ezra, and on, Nehemiah, Jehoshaphat, they all participated in this thing we call fasting. And numerous times throughout the Old Testament, you'll find when the whole nation of Israel fasted at one time. In the New Testament, we read about Anna, John the Baptist, Jesus, of course, and the disciples, the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. All of the early church practiced fasting. Fasting is not some fringe, goofy idea. All of the great reformers and revivalists practiced fasting. Martin Luther, John Wesley. I mean, whoever you want to pick out of that group. And in fact, every truly great spiritual personality that I know of or have read about practiced this discipline called fasting. So today I'm going to teach you a little bit about fasting. In fact, Isaiah 58:6 is the scripture that we have been using as kind of the anchor for this series of messages. And Isaiah 58:6 says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" Why would we fast? Here are some of the good reasons. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Man, I want yokes broken. In my life and in your life. If there's anything that's hindering me, I want that just knocked off. All right. Now, as we just, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, joining together with like-minded believers, we come in faith and we believe that you are a part of this service, that you have participated already in our time of worship, that your Spirit is here to teach us and to guide us, to strengthen us and encourage us, to inspire us to greater things. And Lord, we receive the direction and the input of the Holy Spirit as we open our hearts and our minds to the message. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we talk about fasting, don't confuse fasting with dieting. Okay? You know, dieting is something that you do for your physical well-being. Fasting is something that we do for our spiritual well-being. It's different. It's for consecration. All right? Fasting is a voluntary denial, limiting the food that we might intake or something else in your life. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we're doing it not for our physical body, but for our spiritual life. We're doing it for a holy purpose. And there are holy purposes that are enhanced as we fast. Now, in our natural minds, we easily equate fasting with hunger. Am I right? We equate fasting with hunger. Today, I kind of want to flip that around. I've got a slide up here. When we look at fasting, if you've not done it, if you've not had any experience, I mean, the first thing you're going to think is, if I fast, I am going to be hungry. Anybody here ever fasted and not been hungry? As if we're talking about a food fast, no, you got hungry because your body is used to that. So we tend to think, okay, when I do this, all I'm going to get is hungry. Well, I want to flip that around, and I want to equate fasting in a different way. Fasting will result in physical hunger. No doubt about that. But a spiritual hunger will result in fasting. See, when you are hungry for more of God, you will consider fasting much more aggressively. A spiritual hunger will rise up in you, and you'll just sense that need to fast. When you're hungry for more of God, when you're hungry to know more of Him, when you're hungry to understand more about God, when you're hungry to know His will for your life and the destiny that He has established for you. Some of us here are still going, I don't know why I'm here. I know God has a plan. I don't know what it is. When you get hungry for more of God and knowing more of Him, fasting is a good way to get there. Fasting is a tool that we have. Those times when you're hungry for God, that's when you want to fast. I know it seems kind of counterintuitive. You think, well, I'm going to fast and I'll get hungry. No, and when you're hungry, the right kind of hunger, fasting seems like the natural thing to do. There can come a time, really, when in essence you will say, God, I am so hungry for You that is more desirable to me than my daily bread. And we say that, and our spirit says, yes. And our flesh will protest all the way. I know, I have been there. There is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. If you haven't sensed that, then you haven't really gotten deep in the spirit. Because whenever you really pursue spiritual things, your flesh will fight against it. But one of the things that we are establishing during a fast is who's going to run the show in our lives. Who's going to be in charge, the spirit or the flesh? The spirit or the flesh? Let me see some more pictures. I brought a whole bunch of pictures of things that would be pleasing to our flesh. Oh yeah, I'm ready for lunch already. Some of you are fruit people. There. Does that look good? Oh, see, now that would be more my style. Give me some of that. I want some of that. Oh, yeah, shrimp. Oh, a little Asian food. Are you feeling it? Is it drawing you closer because you are getting hungry? Well, let's flip that around. Spiritually, are you feeling it? Spiritually, are you being drawn to the concept of wanting to be closer to God? See, your flesh sees these photos and it says, yeah, baby, I'll take some of that. But if I put a scripture up there, will your spirit respond the same way? Think about that. Psalm 107, verse 9. See how your spirit responds to this. Psalm 107, verse 9. It says, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. See, your spirit should be going, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. In the midst of a fast, Jesus, this particular fast I'm talking about was 40 days of fasting. Jesus was tempted to turn stones into bread, right? But here's what he said. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So how many of us would agree there is power in prayer? Amen. Prayer is one level. And even anointed prayer is another level. Or praying with other believers, that raises the level even more. But when you start talking about spiritual warfare, fasting, and prayer, that brings out the big guns. We've been blasting away at strongholds with prayer and with faith, with our confessions, right? We've been blasting away and those strongholds haven't completely crumbled. So what are we going to do? Why not bring out the big guns? Why not do some fasting along with your prayer? Luke 4:1 says that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he goes into the wilderness, and he's there for 40 days, and he's there fasting and praying for 40 days. And after 40 days of fasting, in Luke 4:14, the Bible tells us that Jesus returned. In other words, he's coming out of the wilderness, but this time he's returning in the power of the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit going in. Now he's coming out with the power of the Spirit, not merely being filled with the Spirit. I tell you what, there are a lot of people in this room filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is a very good thing. There's not so many operating in the power of the Spirit. You think it's a coincidence that Jesus goes into fasting and prayer and after that comes out with the power of the Spirit? Did he have power working in his life? This is a big yes, right? I mean, he healed people. He raised the dead. Was there power in his ministry? Was there power in his words? I think we have to attribute some of that, not just to the prayer, but to the fasting that he kept as a discipline in his life. Don't miss this. He was full of the Spirit, but after fasting and praying, he had the power of the Spirit evident in his life. And that's really when he launched his ministry. You don't see anything about him fasting before that. I'm sure that there were times as you know, the culture and certain festivals came around where they had as part of those celebrations fasting. I'm sure there was some fasting in his life, but this is the time when it says he fasted 40 days and came out with power and then started his ministry. I tell you, the flesh wants what the flesh wants. I wish it wasn't. The flesh wants what the flesh wants. And you deny food for a day, and I tell you what, the battle is on. The flesh wants what it wants, and it will scream. It will holler. It will certainly do battle with you. By the third day, it even gets uglier. Anybody here who has been on a fast for 3 days or more, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, really, by the second day, they ought to make us go away and go off on our own somewhere so that we're not going to be a bother to other people, because it gets ugly. It gets ugly. Things happen spiritually. You might be getting closer, and sometimes it takes a little breakthrough through that, but I tell you what, physically, it's a tough battle. And, you know, your tongue kind of gets thick and coated, and your breath gets bad, and you get cranky, and it's just not cool. But there's a purpose for this. There's a battle going on between your flesh and your spirit. The cool thing is, after 3 days, there's usually kind of a resurrection of your spirit life. Your spirit man comes alive. But I tell you, those first 2 or 3 days, they're the toughest part. After the third day, it actually gets a little bit easier. Believe it or not, I've been there, I've done it. It does get easier. By the end of the second day or so, you're just wondering even if you're saved or not anymore. I mean, it's true. It's like, or if you even want to be saved by that point, it's like, I'm ready to throw this away. But that's the war of the flesh. See, your flesh is in such rebellion at that time, it's a battle. Your flesh wars against the Spirit. And through fasting, you really do. You establish who's going to be the boss in your life. I think that's one of the greatest benefits of fasting. It's going to establish who's in control. In Psalm 35:13, David says, I humbled my soul with fasting. See, fasting strips the soul of its intellectual pride. Sometimes we think that we can accomplish things even without God. Yeah, we think we're smart enough. Well, we aren't. I'll just tell you right out, we are not. Fasting is going to help you gain the proper perspective that without God, we really can do nothing. When we humble our soul like David did, we position ourselves in a unique way to go more deeply into the spiritual realm. And this is the key. You know, again, fasting, don't fast just so you can say, I fasted and I got hungry. No real benefit to that. The benefit is that we can draw closer, that it removes some of the barriers, that it makes us more sensitive to the spiritual realm. Dreams and visions are more likely to happen during times of fasting. Signs and wonders are always closely related to fasting and prayer. I don't know about you. I like signs and wonders. I like visions. But again, we are not going to fast just so we get visions. Right? We're not going to fast just so we see more miracles and signs and wonders. We're going to fast because it's going to put our flesh into the proper place that it should be, as subservient to our spirit. We are there, we're fasting in order to get more spiritual insight, to push away some of the physical stuff of our life and get more spiritual. Throughout the Bible, you'll find prayer and fasting are always connected to signs and wonders. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here on fasting. In Ezra 8:21, and I do believe Pastor Ben's going to teach us a bit more about Ezra in his fast. But Ezra says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions." He proclaimed a fast. By the way, you know, you ought to proclaim a fast. You ought to, by that I mean that you ought to determine what you're going to do before you attempt to do it. Give it some thought. Do it in a moment of sanity. Don't just go out in crazy land and just charge out. Do it asking the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Don't determine how you're going to fast after you've made that third trip through the buffet line. Because at that point, you're going to think, I can go for 5 or 6 days easy because you're full and you're never going to be hungry at that moment. But you want to take time to do this in a wise way, but then determine what you're going to do and proclaim it. Decide, this is what I'm going to do. And typically, when I decide it's time to fast, I will do just that. Whether I'm going to fast for a one meal, whether I'm going to fast for a day, whether I'm going to fast longer, I'm going to set in my mind, after prayer, after consideration of my circumstances and all of the events that are going to surround it. How many of you know fasting is very hard during the holidays? I rarely decide to choose some time around then when I know, okay, there's going to be all kinds of food and there's all kinds of expectations. People are going to invite you to parties and you're going to be that one guy standing in the back corner going, no, I'm not eating anything, but thanks anyway. So, you know, I'll probably set that aside. Now, if the Lord said Christmas Day or Thanksgiving, you will fast, I will do it. But, you know, if I'm declaring a fast, I'm deciding when I'm going to embark on this attempt to defeat the flesh and raise the spiritual level in my life, I'm going to do it wisely. So I encourage you to do it wisely. Determine what you're going to do before you do it. Prayerfully determine what you are going to do beforehand. Let's take a look at Scripture in Acts chapter 10. Some of the things that we see happening as a result of fasting in Scripture. So this tells us that Cornelius is relating the story of how it came to be that Peter shows up at his house and shares the gospel. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the 9th hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Cornelius is a Gentile, right? He was devoted to prayer. We know that he was a friend of the Jewish people. He was also a very generous giver. And now we see that Cornelius was a man who fasted. And one of the times when he was fasting, an angel appears to him. Do you think that's just a coincidence? I don't think so. I think he had opened himself up to a deeper spiritual level and was able to receive from the Spirit. The result was an angelic visitation, and combined with some other great things that happened, right? It ended up in Peter coming to his house, and his household, and those who had gathered, all receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and getting saved. I mean, that's a pretty good result from fasting, wouldn't you say? And remember, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, in Matthew 4:11, it says that the devil left him. He fasted for 40 days, and the devil left him. And behold, angels came to minister to him. Well, that's kind of cool. Think about it. Would you be willing to give up a couple of Big Macs if an angel would come and minister to you? If the devil would leave you? I think that's pretty good stuff. But you know, there is the flesh and that food. Show me some more food. Oh, yeah. See, that makes my mouth water right there. I love a good burger. Oh, and dessert. Let us not forget dessert. I wonder how many restaurants are going to fill up right after this service ends. People running, I need to get a snack. Oh, little Cajun food there for you. See, we could go on, and it stirs something up in us. We respond very easily to the flesh. Very easily to the flesh. Here in Acts chapter 13, another scripture I just wanted to point out to you. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. There again, fasting and prayer. But it's interesting, you know, it says they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Primarily what they were engaged in was praise and worship. That's what it means when it says they were ministering to the Lord. And they fasted. And what was the result of it? They got spiritual insight as to what should the next step be, which was to send Paul and Barnabas out to continue to minister. So they laid hands on them, prayed on them, and sent them away. See, they're worshiping God, they're praying, they're fasting, and they hear the voice of the Lord. The Holy Spirit speaks to them. And they do what he says. They separate Paul and Barnabas. See, fasting increases our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You see this several places in the book of Acts, right? During prayer and fasting, exciting things happen. It was a common practice in the early church. But let's go back into the Old Testament and take a look at Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks." Now, when he's talking about mourning, Daniel had prayed a prayer, and he got somewhat of a vision, somewhat of an understanding of what God was going to do, but he didn't quite fully understand it all, and so he was praying for a deeper understanding. And in verse 3, it says, "I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." That's what we call a Daniel fast, right? 3 weeks long, he spent 3 weeks long with no pleasant food. No Hostess cupcakes, right? No nachos. No pleasant food. No meat. No wine. Daniel fast was basically water, no meat, just basic fruits, vegetables, bread, no sweets, all of that. And Daniel had a very high governmental position. And, you know, I'm wondering if maybe it just wasn't a good idea for him to go completely without food, because there were going to be times when he was administering in his governmental position when I'm sure there was food involved. but he limited what he was going to eat. And let me say this, when we're talking about fasting, generally, we're talking about depriving yourself of food. But there are other ways to fast. Think of whatever it is that is pleasing to your flesh, to the desires of your flesh, and that can be put in the group of something you can do to fast. So I know of people who are, you know, who will fast from social media. I know some people right now are going, oh gosh, no, not that, anything but that. Well, maybe that's what's a valuable way for you to gain a little more insight in the spirit by depriving yourself of something that is pleasurable in a fleshly sort of way. I mean, there's not a whole lot of great spiritual stuff that I see flowing by on Facebook, if you know what I mean. You can find good stuff. But you pick what it is for you. Maybe it's a TV show, or maybe it's TV altogether. Maybe it's something else in your life, because there are some who are not, and I'll talk about this before we end, there are some who are not really in a position physically to fast, where it's really not a good idea for them to fast, or maybe not a good time to fast from food, but there are other ways that you can fast, other ways that you can deprive yourself of the pleasures of the flesh, we'll just call it that, in order to devote yourself, to consecrate yourself for more spiritual interaction, for more spiritual sensitivity. Anyway, in verses 4 and 5, it says, now on the 24th day of the first month, we're going back to Daniel here, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. So here he is, he's been fasting and praying, and all of a sudden, there's this vision of this angel. At the end of 3 weeks, he's visited by an angel who reveals the mysteries that have been troubling him. Verse 12, jumping up to verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. How did he humble himself before God? He was fasting and praying. He humbled himself before God. And then in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So there was this great battle taking place in the heavenlies, and the answer to Daniel's prayer had been dispatched. The angel with the answer for his prayer had been dispatched when he began to pray and fast at the very beginning, but it took 3 weeks for that to actually come to pass, because the battle was taking place that he had no idea was going on. So if you're praying for something and you think, God, why aren't you answering me? It may not be that God hasn't answered you. There may be some other spiritual battle taking place. And I tell you what, I do believe that his time of humbling himself with prayer and fasting brought about a quicker result. Fasting is connected in many places in the Bible to the release of angelic intervention. So it's a good thing. But again, we don't fast for the release of angelic interventions or some sort of vision or some sort of apparitions of the Lord. No. The purpose of fasting is to diminish the influence of our flesh, to diminish its importance in our lives, because, you know, we do like to cater to our flesh. We do that so that we can be more in tune with the Spirit. Fasting helps us to receive from God, but it's not a lever that we use to get God to move. It helps us to receive from God, but it's not a way for us to force God's hand on something. Honestly, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything to get God to move on our behalf. Amen. Do you realize the sacrifice that He has already made on our behalf? The problem isn't God's willingness or his ability to help us. The problem is our spiritual detachment and insensitivity. That's the much bigger problem. It's our inability to receive what God has already done for us through Christ. I tell you, a lot of things in our life would begin to become less of a burden, less of a problem, if we could just be sensitive enough to understand what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. If we could be perceptive enough to realize that he is with us all the time. But we get caught up in this life. We get caught up in the flesh. We get caught up with day-to-day activities, and we lose sight of what Jesus has done and that Jesus is with us, that he resides in us, and that if we would trust in him and put our faith in him, so much of that would change. A couple of things here. I'm going to wrap this up with some practical advice. Just have to move on. I've got a lot of other notes, but we'll be here a long time. And I don't know about you. Is there more food to show? I'd like to see some of this. Oh, yeah. That looks good. Oh, yeah. Tacos. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Well, let's wrap this up with some practical advice. Oh, yeah, grilled salmon. See, right now, I really want to cater to my flesh. But let's move on to the message and talk about it from a spiritual standpoint. Let's wrap this up. Practical advice. If you are fasting for a private purpose, you should keep it to yourself. In other words, you know, Jesus talked about how the Pharisees, they would fast and they would look all mournful and they would cry out on the streets. And Jesus said, no, when you're doing that kind of stuff, you just, you know, keep yourself normal. It's not important that other people know if it's a private fast, if you're fasting for your own private thing. If you're involved in a public fast, which Pastor Ben has been talking about us fasting as a church. And through these messages, you might be thinking, okay, I think I'm going to fast or what. If you're part of a public fast, remember, it's not a contest, okay? We're not out to impress one another by our fasting. In fact, don't even ask others, what are you doing? How many days are you fasting? How many hours? What are you giving up? See, because it can become a source of pride. A pride for you and maybe discouragement for them. If you're going on a typical fast longer than a day, but when I say a typical fast, I'm talking about denying yourself of food. Use caution if you're taking prescription drugs. And normally, you know, you shouldn't take over-the-counter drugs or vitamins or supplements when you are not eating. Pregnant women, nursing mothers, you have some other considerations there. I don't recommend that there be fasting for children more than just a short period of time, and that's only if they're desiring, you know, if they have that hunger for more of God. Again, people who have weak hearts, those with like congestive heart failure or chronic ailments, ulcers, they have weakened immunity. Maybe a typical fast of denying yourself of food is not necessarily the best idea. If you're heading for surgery or anytime after surgery, let your body rest. Let it heal up. Give it nourishment so that it can handle the stress of healing and the demands that surgery might call for. In fact, it's always a good idea if you have any kind of physical issues, check with your doctor. Now, they're not always the most encouraging when it comes to a fast because they're looking at things from a natural physical thing, right? Remember, God rules over all of these things, over all of the ailments that we might have. So if you're called by the Holy Spirit, you really sense that is the thing God is wanting you to do. Well, you know, do what the Spirit is leading you to do. But be wise. Obviously, you want to avoid alcohol or nicotine or any kind of caffeine when you're in some sort of a fast. And you know, when we're, again, when I say a typical fast, typically that is food. You do need liquids, all right? Unless God is calling you to some supernatural fast, you still want to take in liquids. Usually, I go for water most of the time. But juices, you know, particularly in a long fast, can be very helpful. Set a length of time, as I said. Kind of proclaim a fast in your own life, where you say, from this time to this time, this is what I'm going to do to bring my flesh into subjection, whether it's, you know, with food or some other thing that is desirable to your flesh. I'm going to set it from this time to this time. And it's always best at the front end, if you haven't had much experience in this, to keep it short. Start with a short fast. Get to understand it better. Get to sense what can happen. Perhaps one day. Maybe work up to a longer fast later on. And if you have not fasted before, I just say, be wise. Take it easy the first few times. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. If you have any questions about any of this, you can certainly come up and talk with me. But if you have a need for prayer today, something's happening in your life, maybe something in this message or something before this message, like when Dana was sharing. If something has stirred in your heart and you say, I need to deal with this right now, we've got people, I'll be here to pray with you as well. Don't leave until you've gotten the prayer that you believe is necessary. We have people who believe. You know, we have faithful people here. People who have faith and are willing to join with you in a good, faithful cause. All right? Otherwise, I'm sure Pastor Ben is having a blast. I did see a video of him surprising his mom. How many of you got to see that? Not too many. It was on Facebook. But I think you had to be friends with Pastor Joel, his dad, to see that video. But oh, it was sweet. But he's, I'm sure, having a great time. We'll get reports from him as it goes on. God bless you. You are officially dismissed. Go in peace. Enjoy the day. Get some good lunch if you're not fasting. And we'll see you next Wednesday. I'm here preaching Wednesday night. Come on back. God bless you.